We've now got Michael Pryor, Fremantle assistant coach, and with Fremantle Dockers again lording it over their neighbours, I'm not surprised West Coast Eagles fans will be heading for the hills. Good evening, Michael.
Good evening, guys. How are you?
Very good. It's good to know that a win still counts for more than 4 points out west in a derby. It's a pretty serious afternoon of footy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is, and it's obviously pleasing from our end to get the 4 points. So we thought we acquitted ourselves quite well, and you know, obviously they came back this late in that game, which is a little bit disappointing. But yeah, really happy with the first half of footy that we played, and probably the third quarter as well, to be honest.
I'm not surprised that there was, and there won't be a public admission of this, but I'm not surprised that there might have been some thoughts about the next round, if not in the players' minds and in the rotations and just in a level of intensity towards the end of the game. What was, of course, outstanding is to score the first 11 goals in any game of football, but in the cauldron of a derby is something special. Are there particular coaches' instructions or new game plans that have been implemented that enabled us to see the Fremantle Dockers kick 9 in a quarter? Because it's not something we've associated with the Dockers under Ross.
No, it's not, but it's something that we have been working on. We know that you know, we're pretty good at our defensive side of the game, and I think Ross is on record saying that we wanted to add a couple of goals. You know, last year is something we're still working on with our ball movement, and it all came to play on in the first half. So I think a couple of goals that we got were pretty lucky, but, you know, really good and pleasing. And you take those when you get them, but they don't happen very often. We kick 9 goals in a quarter of footy, do they?
And, Michael, probably just extending on that point, when you are in a time of play like that where you're just dominating things and the game's completely on your terms, is it simply a case of it ain't broke, don't fix it, and you're kind of not tending to things, or is it a little bit more like being in a pit garage for an F1 team and you're sort of going, okay, well, now we need to tend to this bit of it and this bit of it to make sure we continue to maintain or extend our gap?
Yeah, that's right. I think you hit the nail on the head, because when you're up by that much and, you know, the opposition are going to try, they're not going to keep going the way they're going. They're going to try and throw a few different things at you. So I suppose as a coaching group, you've got to be aware of that and looking for the changes that they're making, and then consequently, do we want to make any changes to counteract what they're doing? So, and we had to do that a couple of times in the first half, and pleasingly enough, it paid off for us. So, yeah, always changing, not just sitting back, you know, resting on our laurels.
Couple of real unsung heroes who are starting to emerge and perhaps have got to the point in their careers, games-wise, where they're getting recognised outside Perth. Lachie Neal's obviously been very well spoken about and should play his 50th game this week, coming off the Ross Glendening medal. But I wanted to talk to you about Cameron Sutcliffe and how important he's become. No, internally rated very highly, and his final series last year was seen as perhaps the real making of him as a player.
Yeah, Cam's been fantastic since he came to the club. I think it was his pick was in the 70s somewhere. I think so he just come in with an attitude that, you know, numbers don't mean anything whether you pick 1 or 70. He really wanted to play. He showed the coaching staff and the players that he's willing to do the work. He runs all day. He's tough. He makes life hard for the small forwards and the opposition. And he slotted in really nicely for us. So we're really happy with the way Cam's going and the way he's going about his football in general.
Michael Pryor has joined us from inside the Fremantle coach's box. Not at the moment. That would be silly, but certainly on game day. Michael, we were discussing prior to the break the role that Clancy Pearce plays in the team, having seen Ryan Crowley, of course, sidelined, awaiting further information on that. And prior to the season, there was intel out of your camp that Clancy Pearce could be, not directly, but could be a person to step up and fill that role if required. He certainly hasn't taken up the close talkers position that Ryan Crowley does next to an opponent. But is that something that Clancy could do, or is he doing it? We see him partly in games, maybe not through the centre, but around on the flanks, that he does have seemingly a direct opponent.
Yeah, look, that's definitely a role that Clancy played for us throughout the NAB series. So obviously we've got to find someone who can do that role for us with Ryan out. We believe Matty DeBoer can play that role for us. Nick Subin can also play that role. But Clancy's probably the first one. you know, he can also play wing and half back, which he's done in the first couple of rounds. So, you know, if we feel that someone's getting away from us from the opposition, he's certainly one that we can turn to and, you know, to shut them down. So that's why we've gave him that exposure over the NAB series, and he acquitted himself quite well against some pretty tough opponents. And even round one, he played on Travis Boak. You know, and speaking of Ryan Crowley, Travis Boak's one of the hardest players to shut down because he doesn't give in, he goes to the end, and he's a very hard runner. So we're really happy that we've got Clancy up our sleeve if we need him to play that role.
And it appears as though this was a decision that was made a fair way out, because he looks trimmer than he has been at times during his career, maybe the fittest he's ever been in preparation for long, arduous tasks of running with elite runners.
Yeah, he has. He's had a fantastic summer, and I think that was missing last year, where he's injured a little bit over the pre-season, but this year he had a full pre-season under his belt. When he's up and going, he's a really fit individual, so we got the confidence he can run with these elite midfielders of the competition. So he's got himself in really good condition, you know, for whatever role we throw his way.
Have you at all been surprised at Luke McFarlane's form through the first three rounds? I mean, coming out of the end of 2014, there was thoughts that maybe he should have finished up. We'll turn 34 at the end of this year, but he's played almost every minute of the season so far and seems in pretty fine fettle ahead of the weekend's game against the Swans and potentially locking horns with either Kurt Tippett or Lance Franklin.
Yeah, from my point of view, I'm obviously the backline coach, so I was glad that he went on, and we'd be lost without him at the moment for injuries to Zach Dawson and Alex Silvani, who's on the way back. So he started really well. And again, for Luke, it was that consistency over the summer, being able to train every session. He's got himself in some really good condition. And as you said, he's basically played every minute. So I think he had one rotation on the weekend, which was his first one in three games. So that's just what a key defender's got to do. And he's hit some really good form at the young age of 33, 34. So we're really wrapped with Luke, and hopefully he continues that this week against a couple of monsters down the other end.
Time flies. I remember when Michael Johnson was this exciting youngster that had burst on the AFL scene. He's now penned a contract that will make him a Docker for life. So it's the final phase. It can be a very long one of his career. He's going to be at Fremantle. Can you, especially because you've got backline responsibilities, Michael, tell us a little bit about a bloke who has matured into one of the finer backmen in the competition of all Australian quality.
Yeah, again, Jono's really important to us. He plays a few different roles. And, you know, he's a tall defender, but can also play on those smaller types. He just reads the game so well, positions really well, sees the ball coming, you know, his way, and is able to peel off his opponent and intercept mark or have an effect on the play. So at the moment, he's having to play on the bigger key forwards. Played on Tom Hawkins a couple of weeks ago and did really well. But that's the role he has to fill for us at the moment, with only two key defenders to pick from. So, you know, when another key defender comes back, whether it's Silvani or Dawson, we can use Michael in different roles. So, again, another contract extension for him and thoroughly deserved. So he's been right up there in our best affairs the last couple of years. So, you know, we're wrapped to have him.
And those last couple of years have seen him come of age. It almost happened one afternoon where he stole 2 points off Sydney at the SCG, and it really could have been the whole 4 points. It was the Michael Johnson comeback show. Did that make him a different footballer confidence-wise? Because he has not looked back from that very afternoon.
Yeah, I know exactly the one you're talking about. We were talking about today. He pushed forward late in the game because they had Reed behind the ball and made him accountable, but also, you know, led really well, not just nullifying Reed, but led and marked the footy up in the forward half and had a couple of shots on goal, which almost got us over the line. But I think that was part of his growth and, you know, the different roles that we can throw his way. So I think, yeah, from that point on, and maybe even before, he's really developed into a valued member of our footy club.
Big game, huge game against Sydney on the weekend. How's this for a... We felt last week North Melbourne Geelong, North Melbourne Port Adelaide was almost an April final. It was an 8-point game. Well, this is a true 8-point game for top two, top four potentially. It comes on the back of a tricky draw for the Fremantle Dockers. How's the mental preparation for another big game? There's been three, and this is a fourth very big game in succession.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously, you know, it's a cliche week by week, but we look at Sydney as a really tough, well-drilled, disciplined, well-led side. So I think if you look back at the last four games, we may have got them one out of the four. So we know they're a tough opponent, highly respected. We know they're going to be at the pointy end of the season. So it'd be nice to get one over them this weekend in Perth. So, you know, we're really looking forward to the challenge. And I think our players, and that's, I suppose, the art of coaching, keeping them fresh and, you know, with their training loads and that sort of stuff. So we feel that we've had a really good pre-season. We're in good shape, minimal injuries. And I think the players are motivated within themselves to just go that little bit further than what we were able to do last year.
And there won't be too many tricks Ross or Horse can play on each other because, of course, they're both graduates from Grandmaster Paul Roux's masterclass. It's not, I'm not saying similar styles against each other, but they're hard-nosed boys who grew up in the same backyard, coaching-wise.
Yeah, they are. They've learned from a pretty handy coach, haven't they? So, you know, we pretty much, you know, sat down and had a look at Sydney today, and we feel we know them quite well. We know what's coming. It's going to be a hard, tough game. We really respect their midfield. We think they're one of the best midfields going around. They're hard at the ball. I think they've already said that they plan on laying 100 tackles. So, good luck to them if they can do that. But we're under no illusions what's coming our way. And I think, you know, as of today, we've started preparing for them. And as the week goes on, we'll have a look, little bit more of a look at them and get our players ready to go Saturday night.
Well, I've told the missus no movies or dinner on Saturday night. I'm staying home to watch the footy, so it looks like an absolute cracking game. Michael, thanks for joining us. Great insight. And Fremantle Dockers, again, testing material, so congratulations on what's been achieved early but good in season 2015.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.